Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Jamam Abhijanati Tomam Tatvato Gyat Vavishate Tadanantaram. Lord Krishna is speaking. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What that means, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is described throughout the Vedic literature. The descriptions are there so that we can understand Krishna. Still, it is very difficult to understand Krishna because he is infinitely great and we are infinitesimally small. We can just begin to get some idea about how great is Krishna by considering his incarnation of Mahavishnu. Krishna has various expansions. One of them is Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, all the universe, all the material universes, they come out of his body. Yasyaika nishvasita kala matavalam yajivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur mahansaha yasya kala visheshu Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. When Mahavishnu breathes out, from the pores of his skin, all the universes emerge. And the universes exist as long as his breathing period. In other words, when Mahavishnu breathes in again, all the universes again enter into his body. So all we are doing here in this tiny planet, in this tiny universe, which is only one of millions and billions of universes that come and go from the body of Mahavishnu, all that we are doing in Mahavishnu's time scale is just like this or less. We are so small and Krishna is so great. So how is it possible to know God? Some people say this, well, how is it possible to know God? He's so great. Then why should we bother even trying? We should bother trying because God himself tells us to try. Krishna is unlimitedly great. One of the symptoms of his greatness is his kindness and consideration for the part and parcel living entity. Even though we are so small, Krishna is so kind that he cares for every one of us. Therefore, he comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita. And he tells the tiny individual living being represented by Arjuna, how you can attain to me. Now we may think, well, how can we understand God, or how can we attain to the position of understanding God? He is so great, we have no ability to do so. That is true. To think like that is devotional. Someone who thinks I can become as good as God, or I'm already as good as God, he's a fool. Someone who begins to realize how tiny I am and how great God is, he is a proper candidate for understanding God. Because although it is impossible to understand in his God in his full greatness, it is possible to understand him to some extent by his mercy. That is another feature of his greatness, that he gives us, who are so small, the ability to understand him to some degree. To some degree means that Krishna, he is our eternal loving father, or different liberated souls have different relationship with Krishna. Generally, in the Western world, the concept is of God as Father, which is correct because we are all generated from God and he is superior to us. So in that sense, he is Father. But in the spiritual world where Krishna lives, different living beings have different relationship with Krishna. These are relationships of love. There are different relationships of love. Just like in this material world, a person loves different people in different ways. A person loves their father in one way, their wife in another way, brother in another way, child in another way, different kinds of relationships. So these varieties of loving relationships are also there in the spiritual world in relationship with Krishna. But the difference is that unlike in this material world where relationships are built on basis of mutual sense enjoyment, in the spiritual world there is only the pure desire to please Krishna. So Krishna extends himself and makes himself available to us. Krishna, although he is so great, he desires that we come to our proper happy position of serving him. This is our constitutional position, that we are servants of God. And when we come to that position, then we can understand about God. As long as we are trying to defy God or ignore him, we cannot understand him. But we can understand him by the process of devotional service, which means recognizing our position as his servant. However, this devotional service to Krishna is not very commonly attained. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan nang prapadyate vasudeva sarva. Here in the Gita, Lord Krishna says that someone who surrenders to Krishna is very rare. The position of devotion to Krishna may be attained after many lifetimes. After many lifetimes of searching out the absolute truth by the intellectual process, someone may come to understand that Krishna is the absolute truth, the all in all, and thus surrender to him. And such a person who surrenders to Krishna is rare. Very rare. very rare. But in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are preaching surrender to Krishna. So why should we preach such a thing if it's very rare? Actually, it is very rare, but by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that thing which is very difficult to obtain becomes very easy to obtain. In other words, the process of understanding Krishna, pure devotional service to Krishna, which is normally very difficult to obtain, simply by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by chanting Hare Krishna, becomes easy to obtain. Krite yadhyayato Vishnum. In the Vedic literatures, it is described that there was a Satya Yuga, some few millions of years ago, in which people, they engaged in meditation to understand the Absolute Truth. According to what we learned at school, a few million years ago, there were no human beings. But according to the Vedic literatures, which are not written by foolish speculators, millions of years ago, there were highly advanced civilized people, and they engaged in meditation upon the Absolute Truth, specifically meditating upon the form of Vishnu. And they used to meditate for long periods, usually minimum of 10,000 years, because their lifespan was usually at least 100,000 years. Then after Satya Yuga came Treta Yuga, Tretayam Yajyato Makai, in which people performed very elaborate sacrifices as a method to understand the Absolute Truth. Prior to this Kali Yuga, there was Dwarpa Yuga. Dwapara Paricharya, elaborate deity worship was performed. But in this Kali Yuga, Harinam Sankirtan, Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat, the same result or better result that could be obtained by following all these difficult processes is achieved in Kali Yuga by chanting the holy names of Krishna. What this means for you and me is that by chanting the holy names of Krishna, we can achieve the topmost position of spiritual perfection. That although we may be very ordinary, insignificant people, it's better to be ordinary and insignificant than to be puffed up thinking I'm a very big, important person. So anyway, although we are ordinary people and we have no particular qualification in any way. Of course, some of us may have some educational qualification, but as Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport, to understand Krishna, university degrees are not helpful. So anyway, we're not super special, very famous big shots of the material world. We're not great heroes, Michael Jackson or Mike Tyson or Madonna. Here we are, ordinary folks. But we can attain Krishna by chanting the holy names of Krishna. We can achieve a perfection millions of times better than being the world boxing champion or the most famous rock star monkey in the world. Yeah. We can attain a perfection much better than getting millions of dollars. We can get a perfection much better than being Miss Universe or the most beautiful woman in the world. We can attain pure devotional service to Krishna. A materialistic person can't understand why anyone would be interested in these things. But anyone who's got a little taste for Krishna consciousness becomes captivated by this information. When he understands that I've spent millions of lifetimes simply uselessly trying to enjoy this material world, now I have the opportunity to understand Krishna. And anyone who has begun to understand this must take Krishna consciousness very seriously. If anyone has even slightly understood Krishna consciousness, he can't be interested in any kind of material enjoyment. Because all these so-called enjoyments in the material world put together cannot even equal one tiny drop of the ocean of the nectar of devotion. Anyone who has understood what devotional service to Krishna means can understand that everything in this material world is empty and useless. You see, materialistic people, they waste their whole lives and uselessly. They spend so much time in front of the mirror, combing their hair, putting on lipstick and so many things, decorating the body. They're very concerned, what does my body look like? But what does it matter what the body looks like? Because after some time, it's just going to be burned or buried anyway. And the whole endeavor to make the body look nice, what is that for? Simply to attract the opposite sex. And where is the happiness there? People spend their whole lives thinking how to attract the opposite sex. But having attracted, then what is the great enjoyment? Just rubbing of two skins together. There's nothing fabulous there. And like that, all kinds of material enjoyment are simply like that. The interaction of the senses with the sense object. So a person who has got the slightest taste of the transcendental understanding of the greatness of Krishna consciousness cannot be interested by mundane, low-class sense enjoyment. He must become very eager to understand Krishna. What an opportunity. Just like we were seeing in the magazine, some opportunity. 50,000 green cards for America will be offered. This is your big opportunity. Go to America and become an American and enjoy life as an American, the land of freedom, the land of opportunity, the land of 200 murders a day, sorry, So we're thinking, what a great opportunity. So if you think going to America is such a great an opportunity, what about the opportunity of going to Krishnaloka? Because even if you go to America, what to speak of America, even if you go to Swargaloka, the heavenly planet of Indra, there's no satisfaction there. Now these people are making big propaganda about going to Mars. They tell us they're going to Mars. We don't believe them. But even if they do go to Mars, what is the benefit? What are they going to do there? Chew bubble gum? Or what do they plan to do there? They spend so much money so-called going to the moon. They didn't do anything there. Now they're going to go to Mars and send back some photographs. Postcard from Mars. Price to the taxpayer. Each photo, $10 million. These materialistic people, they're simply insane. You see them, they're flying all around the world, going for their holidays. Now it's holiday season. So they go from one place to another, and then they go back again. They have no higher goal of life. They're simply, because someone, they see an advertisement in the newspaper, you should go to Spain for your holiday, therefore I must go to Spain for my holiday. They're simply passing day after day like animals, because the animals, they have no higher consciousness. A devotee of Krishna, he lives in this world, but he's not captivated by this propaganda for sense enjoyment. He's firmly convinced of the reality of Krishna. Otherwise, what is there in this material world? There's nothing of any interest. It's only, whatever is here is only of interest to people with very blinkered intelligence. But one who is of broader intelligence, udara dhi, he must worship Krishna. Especially considering that here today, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you can very quickly go to Krishna. You don't have to do anything difficult. It's so easy. We say it so many times that sometimes people think, oh, it doesn't really mean anything. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Yes, yes, I know, I heard that before. But why not do it? We can do it. Vishaya Charya Shairoshe Marjaya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. There's one condition for achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness. That means to give up sense gratification. So that's all we have to do. Chant Hare Krishna and give up all aspirations to be happy in the material world. Such aspirations are useless anyway, because there is no happiness in this material world. So if we just understand this, that I have to dedicate mind, life, words, everything to Krishna, and if we do that, then we'll be happy in this life, and we'll go back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Yep. So that's open to everybody. It's not just something theoretical. It's not just some dogma that we're preaching. There's Protestant preacher, and Orthodox church preacher, and Islamic preacher, and atheistic preacher, and political preacher, and Hare Krishna preacher. No, it's not just some opinion or sect or cult. This is the absolute truth that is recognized by all the Shastras and all the Acharyas. They all recognize. It's like here in this Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna recognized. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adi Devam, Ajam Vibhum. Arjuna, addressing Krishna, said that you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. You are the Supreme Abode. You are the Supreme Pure. You are the Supreme Enjoyer. The origin of all the demigods. Unborn and mighty, powerful. So that conclusion is not just Arjuna saying. That is accepted by all the experts on spiritual knowledge throughout the centuries. Ahas tong vishyasarve devarshya naradastata asito devalo vyasa swayam chaiva bravishimam. Arjuna said that all the great authorities on spiritual knowledge, such as Devala, Asit, Narad, Vyas, they all accept Krishna as the Supreme Absolute Truth. And in the modern age, also, all the experts on spiritual knowledge, they accept the same thing. When we say experts on spiritual knowledge, we don't mean some professor sitting in his university, but we mean someone who, as suggested in this verse, has entered into Krishna consciousness with his very life. We're talking about acharyas, who by their character, by their activities, by their knowledge, by their prowess and ability, by their ability to convert others to Krishna consciousness, by their total absorption in Krishna consciousness, they demonstrate that Krishna is reality. That Vallabhacharya, he said, Vastuta eva Krishna, reality is Krishna. So all the acharyas have shown in their very lives the reality of Krishna. If we don't accept Krishna, then we have to say that all the attempts of the acharyas, such as Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, in recent times Srila Prabhupada, that was all simply some blindness. Either the atheists are wrong or the acharyas are wrong. One or the other of them has made a big mistake. We stand with the acharyas. We don't accept the atheists. It doesn't make any sense to be an atheism is foolishness. Very simple to understand. There must be God. Just otherwise, how are you going to answer the question? How is everything coming to being? How is everything sustained? If you say by chance, it just means you don't know. That's all. Just avoiding the question. Just like in the university, or you go to school and they give you the exam and every question, what is the result when you mix up different chemicals? You say, well, something happens by chance. Or they give you a mathematical equation to solve, and you don't know how to do it, but you put some answer and you say, by chance, this may be correct. Who won this question, history question? Mm-hmm. Who won the Second World War? And then you might put, you don't know the answer, but you put Morocco. By chance, this answer may be correct. So saying by chance simply means you don't know, that's all. Anyone of sane intelligence must understand that behind the order of the universe, there is an order of the person who gives the law. And information of that mighty personality is given in all the scriptures of the world, and particularly in the Vedic literature. And those who follow the Vedic conclusion of devotional service to Krishna, they become sane in their life. They don't chase after temporary sense pleasures. They develop all good qualities by their devotion to Krishna. Okay. So in this way, they demonstrate in their life the reality of Krishna. In our lifetime, we have seen a great acharya. We read in the scriptures about great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, and how they were so powerfully Krishna conscious that they influenced thousands of people to become Krishna conscious. We have seen such a person, Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, just in his every glance, his every movement, his every word, everything was laden with Krishna consciousness. Many people became convinced of Krishna consciousness just by coming in Prabhupada's presence, because they realized that here is someone who is completely absorbed in high reality. Of course, we understand spiritual knowledge by hearing from a spiritual master. But a person who is surcharged with Krishna consciousness to such a high degree as Srila Prabhupada, then just by their very presence, many times, just by his look, he could wipe out so many anarthas from people's hearts. So anyway, there may be so many arguments, but as far as we are concerned, we are convinced of the reality of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if anyone becomes convinced, then their real life begins. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, they can realize that whatever else I've been doing in the world up to now has just been a complete waste of time.
Feminine.
That I was completely in illusion before I came to this. Krishna consciousness means waking up to reality. As long as we don't understand Krishna consciousness, then all our endeavors simply end in defeat. As long as we don't inquire into the absolute truth, then all our endeavors simply end in defeat. But taking to Krishna consciousness means coming to life as if we've been sleeping for a long time. Sleeping for a long time, many millions of lifetimes. Every lifetime we're struggling to enjoy whatever kind of body we're in. Even in the body of a slug, we're trying to enjoy. You know what a slug is? Last time I was here, where was that? In Rijeka, yeah. Last time I was here in Rijeka, I saw not the slug, the snail. The snail means the slug with the house on him. I was out in the early morning chanting, walking on the street, and there were so many snails. So for one reason or other, there were many snails crossing the road. Walk up, chant two rounds and come back, and I'd see the snail had gone 1 meter. Great, very slowly crossing the road. And I'd come back again, chant two rounds, come back again, and see he almost reached the end of the road, but unfortunately a car had come and crushed him in the meantime. So this is everybody's story in the material world. Everyone is struggling very hard to achieve some goal, but unexpectedly death comes. And destroys all their endeavors. Death always comes unexpectedly. Everyone should expect that tomorrow or the next day or after a few days I'm going to die. But we always think, oh, how surprising. We never think I'm going to die. Okay. Someone else is going to die. Okay. Not me. Death comes as sure as death. So death comes for the devotee also. But death for the devotee is not a horrible thing as it is for the non-devotee. The non-devotees, they generally pass stool and urine at the time of death out of fear of what bad future they are entering into.
Yes.
But for a devotee, he's not disturbed by the change of body. Dhiras tatra na muhyati. In the matter of changing bodies, a self-realized sober person is not disturbed. Because he knows that I changed bodies so many times. Now I'm in the hands of Krishna. So Krishna will look after me. Krishna is overseeing everybody, but he especially looks after his devotees. So if a devotee has not achieved full perfection in devotional life, then again he will get a chance by the grace of Krishna. He will enter into the womb of a mother in a pious family. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Vijayate. Or if he has achieved full perfection, then death for such a devotee is just like going to sleep and waking up, and there he is in the spiritual world with Krishna. So that opportunity is there for all of us. That opportunity is there for everybody, but especially those who are taking interest in Krishna consciousness, they should take this opportunity very seriously. We don't have much time. We're all going to leave these bodies soon. Those who are young, 15 years old, 20 years old, 25 years old, they are called young. But there's not that much difference between a so-called young person and an old person, because 25 years old or 70 years old, there's not that much difference. It doesn't take much time to go from 25 to 70. Life is very short. But if in this lifetime we be fully absorb ourselves in the activities of Krishna consciousness, then we can achieve the highest goal of life, going back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. So your life is in your own hands. It means that when we take to Krishna consciousness, we put our lives in the hands of Guru and Krishna for guidance on the path back to Godhead. But how much we take advantage of the benedictions given by Guru and Krishna, that is up to us. Just like we see, a guru will instruct all his disciples the same things, basically. Some take those instructions very seriously and make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness, and others don't. So the gift of Krishna consciousness is there, but it's up to every one of us to take advantage of it or not. But if we do take advantage of it, then we achieve the highest perfection of life. And if we don't take advantage of it, if we don't take Krishna consciousness very seriously, then we have to go back again to the cycle of birth and death. Shradadhana purasya dharmasyasya parandapa aprapyamang devatante mrityu samsara vatnami. Those who don't keep their faith in Krishna, they have to go back to the cycle of birth and death. They don't attain to Krishna. So we have to decide, what do you want in life? Some of these new age so-called gurus, they're telling you how to live your life. One of the things they say is, don't become anyone's disciple, although they themselves are acting as guru by telling you what to do. So one thing they say is, you have to decide what you want in your life and work towards that. So what should we decide? What do you want with your life? Would you like happy life, healthy body, money? Okay, well, you might get those things. You might not. But even if you get those things, there's no guarantee you're going to be happy. There is the great illusion of the material world that is going on since time immemorial, that people think, I will be happy if I just had a little bit more money. I don't want a lot of money, but just if I had a little bit more, then I'd be happy. If you get a little more, then you'll want a little more. And this goes on endlessly. The material desires, they have no end. And as long as we have material desires, we cannot be happy. Krishna bhakta nishkam atev shanta. A devotee of Krishna is peaceful in his mind because he has no material desires. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta. But those who desire material enjoyment, those who desire liberation from this material world, those who desire yogic perfection, can never be peaceful in their minds because they have material desires. And then, ashantasya kutasukam, where is the possibility of happiness for one who is not peaceful in his mind? So Krishna consciousness just means, actually, common sense. Common sense is not very common. Most people don't have much of it at all, because they try to be happy in a way that is not possible to be happy. Krishna consciousness simply means recognizing reality, that you cannot be happy with anything in this material world. So why bother trying? Just surrender to Krishna, then you'll be happy. Jeev Krishna Das, Abhishas, Koraleta, or Dukanai. As soon as we accept, I am the servant of Krishna, then all our problems are finished. That's all. That's it. Just in one line, you have the solution to all your problems. People will write big, big books, how to solve this problem and that problem. We can give the answer in one line. People will think, well, that's too simple. Sort out my problems in so many different ways. But actually, the fact is that you can't end your material problems. When we say that by taking to Krishna consciousness, all your problems are solved, it doesn't mean that Krishna comes and pays your rent for you. It's raining, he holds an umbrella over your head. But the material world will go on. devotee of Krishna, he understands, I don't belong to this material world. All these problems are only in relationship to the body. I'm not this body. So a devotee, he performs his duties within this material world. He's not callous to this, he's not indifferent to this material world. In other words, for instance, if someone is a married man and he takes to Krishna consciousness, it's not that he'll neglect his duties. He performs his duties, but he knows that this is only temporary. My eternal life is with Krishna. And although within his abilities, he does his best to perform his family duties, if there are reverses which he cannot, which are beyond his power to control, he accepts it as the will of Krishna. So in this way, he lives peacefully despite all difficulties that must come from the material world. So it is a great art. Yoga karma so kaushalam. In Gita, Lord Krishna says that this bhakti yoga, it is the greatest art. People are writing so many books, how to live your life this way and that way and another way. They're giving so much advice, but it's all the advice of blind men. This is called andha parampara, following the blind, following the blind. If a blind man, just you see, a blind man is wants to, please lead me. He's asking someone to lead him. So someone may think, all right, I'll lead him. Let me help him. But if that person who's leading him is also blind, then what kind of help is that? He's not in a position to help, therefore he shouldn't try to help. Therefore, one should take help not from blind people who don't know what is the absolute truth, but we should take help from tattva-darshi, one who has seen the truth. And what is that truth? Vastuta eva Krishna. Krishna is reality. Everything conceived of outside of a conception of Krishna is simply meaningless. Tetam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Lord Krishna describes that anything conceived of outside of a relationship with me is meaningless. Everything that's going on in this material world is meaningless. Whether it's on Mars or on the moon or wherever it is, whether it's the big meeting of big powerful countries or some football game on the television, some rock concert or whatever, it's meaningless. Ultimately, it's all meaningless because it is without a relationship to Krishna. It is simply transformation of different material elements. Here today, gone tomorrow. The only thing that goes with us is our karmic reaction. Any point of view, if anyone is actually at all intelligent, he must take to Krishna consciousness. This is the only significant thing in this material world. If a person chants Hare Krishna once, that is the most significant thing he will do even in millions of lifetimes. It is not very important to become the president of a nation. That is a temporary position. Who is the president of the nation today may be a dog or a cat tomorrow. It's not unlike, it's very likely, because that is how the laws of nature work. Someone develops the doggish mentality. The dogs, they'll run together on the street, and the one who can bark the loudest, he subdues all the others. So this is politics, it's just the same. Might is right. Whoever can subdue the others by one means or another becomes the leader. So by the laws of nature, who is a great personality of this material world is a nothing, nobody tomorrow. But even a so-called great personality of this material world, what is that? To be president of Croatia, or even president of Russia, or even president of America, what's so great? Compared to the demigods in the heavenly planets, this position is just insignificant. But the position of the devotee of Krishna, that is the best position in the material world. Because a devotee doesn't live in this material world. He only apparently lives in this material world. But he always carries Krishna in his heart. Therefore, a devotee becomes absorbed in the reality. People think that reality is today's political situation and what the weather is like today. But actual reality is the position of the spiritual world. First tasmat bhava nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. Beyond this material world, which is created and destroyed again and again, there is the spiritual world. That is our real position, to go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world, to serve Krishna. So everyone can do it. Why not do it? Proposition. It's so easy. Chant Hare Krishna. Dedicate your life to Krishna. And gradually, advancement in Krishna consciousness will come. And we'll go back to Krishna. No more birth and death. So why not do it? Why have any doubt? See, devotees, they come to Krishna consciousness, but by the influence of Maya, again they have doubts. And therefore, sometimes, even after taking to Krishna consciousness, even after sometimes having taken the vow of initiation in Krishna consciousness, they go again away from Krishna consciousness and again engage in foolish activity. Any activity outside of Krishna consciousness, foolishness. So don't be a fallen yogi. Don't think, well, I did some Krishna consciousness in this life, and all right, maybe next life I'll try again. Why not take it up seriously in this life? Why become a candidate for more suffering? Why give suffering to Krishna by coming to him and then again going away. Just take Krishna consciousness seriously. Not a difficult thing to do. Very joyful thing to do. Joyful to the very essence of our being. Dedicate this life to Krishna. Prepare to go home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Okay. Krishna, in his form of Lord Chaitanya, making so easily available to us in the modern age. We don't have to do anything difficult. All we have to do is chant these holy names of Krishna with faith and attention and without offenses. So let us try for that. And if we try, Krishna will certainly help us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. In the beginning of the lecture, you said that we cannot read about Lokan Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita because he gave blessings to Krishna Karat Goswami not to mention his name in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can you explain what is the reason why we cannot read about Bhugarbha Goswami?
Probably the same thing.
Yeah, that might be fine.
Just the name is... Bhugarbha's name comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just his name is mentioned once.
Yeah,
I don't think Lokanath Goswami's name even comes at all.
And there's not, not even mentioned.
In Bhakti Ratnaka his name is mentioned. Even there, not much. Who knows? So many years have gone by. Even Prabhupada was here a short time ago and not everything may be remembered. It's that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that at every moment of every day, Lord Chaitanya performed such amazing pastimes that Ananta, even with millions of mouths, can't come to the end of describing one moment. So some pastimes have been recorded, but everything is not recorded. Any other questions?
Yes, next question. The
question is, what's the question?
The question is a little bit more connected with the morning lecture.
Mm-hmm.
The question is that you said that we should strive to become uttamadhikaris to achieve the purest love to Krishna, pure love to Krishna. My question is it possible for a person to achieve the highest platform of love of Godhead if his spiritual master is not uttamadhikari, is not on the topmost level, but he is strictly following principles, rules like that, of his spiritual master?
Now we're in this sampradaya of pure devotees. You'll see, if you see the list of our guru parampara, the names who are mentioned, you'll see there are only a few names. There have been many, many gurus in our sampradaya. And most of them, the names are not even recorded. In the list of the guru parampara, only those who have made the most significant contribution in terms of literature and in terms of preaching, their names have been mentioned. And even some of the devotees who are mentioned, they are more prominent than their own guru. So the point is, if someone may not, it's not that every guru is on the level of Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Such devotees are actually very rare in this world. But if someone follows the principles of such great acharyas and teachers, then